It's tough to make predictions, especially about the future. And I love his crazy talk. I don't know how he always said those things. He had the right turn of phrase somehow, but that was funny. But the thing is that, you know, as we are anticipating Christmas, we are looking into the future. We are anticipating what God is about to do. And as you can imagine, the future is always just a little bit scary. It's murky. We don't know exactly how things are going to work out. We all have our plans, but we never know if the plans are actually going to happen. And it makes it a little difficult to anticipate sometimes, you know, because anticipation is just looking forward. But we look forward, but we also have that little flavor of worry of what might happen or might not happen. And today, the reason we started a little late is because we're getting ready to start the service. The children are going to sing, and we don't have their background music. So it's like we have a plan, but it didn't quite come out yet. So we're working on it. It'll all be fine, but it's just funny how these things go. The thing is that we are coming into God's presence today, and we have a God of certainty, a God who knows the future, a God who knows the past, a God who knows you, a God who has done everything necessary so that you can have a relationship with him. And that is what this is about today. It isn't about the unknowns of the future. It's about the certainty of what our God has done and what our God has planned for us. And so as we begin this day, as we begin this service together, let us remember the day that we know that our God made us his own, that he added us to his family, and that he gave us faith to believe in him, the day of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you so much that you have brought us into your presence, Lord, by the grace of by the death and resurrection of your Son, that you have made us worthy to stand here in your presence, covered with the righteousness that Jesus earned for us, Lord. And the certainty of that is what makes it possible, Lord, for us to boldly come into your presence, to ask you to treat you, Lord, like our Father, Lord, because that is who you have revealed yourself to be. Lord, I pray that you would work among us today. As you have promised, send your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and minds, Lord, as we hear your word. Give us opportunity and words and as we respond to that incredible word, incredible promise, with songs of joy and praise. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time that we would confess our sins. And this is one of those things that we can be certain of in the future, is that for certain of in the present, certain in the past, that Jesus died and that our sins are forgiven. But because we struggle with accepting forgiveness, we need to hear this word over and over again. And so let us take a moment to lay our sins at the feet of the cross and receive Jesus' forgiveness. Let's confess. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Do we have music? We have music. Everybody have a seat. And next we are going to be able to return praise through the mouths of our children as they come in to sing for us.
Good morning. Is this on?
Yeah.
That was beautiful. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. Today's first scripture reading, Micah, a prophet of the Old Testament, chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from the old, from ancient times. This is the word of the Lord.
The text for today's message is Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Of the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Children, it's now time for the children's message, so come on forward at this time.
Good morning. That singing was amazing, fabulous. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, I'm thinking so. So I want you guys to help me this morning, and we're going to kind of vote. And I'm going to have you tell me if what I ask you to do would be something that would be easy, or if it would be kind of hard, and maybe you wouldn't really want to do it. So, first thing. Clean your room. Oh. How many of you think that would be kind of easy? Maybe you wouldn't want to, but you could do it. How many of you think that would be really, really hard and you really wouldn't? I don't want to see your rooms.
My room's pretty clean.
Cool. I bet your parents appreciate that. Here's the next one. How many of you think that it would be easy and you could do it if somebody said, from now on, you sleep on the floor. No bed, no mattress, no sleeping bag. You have to sleep on the floor from now on. You have to give up your bed. How many of you think that would be really easy? How many of you think that would be kind of hard? And maybe really, yeah, that would be kind of hard.
I would do both.
Good. Yeah. Here's another one. How many of you think it would be easy to make a Christmas card for somebody? How many of you think that would be? How many of you think that would be really hard? So you guys, well, you kind of, I got one more.
It could be hard because like you.
Could.
It could be hard because like you don't know who you're going to write it to.
Exactly. How about if you had to give up electronics? So TV, phone, tablet, game systems, if you had to give up all your electronics for a whole year, how many of you think that would be really easy? How many of you think that would be hard? How many of you think that would be hard? See, they think it would be hard too.
How?
So,
books are better.
I want to talk to you about somebody else who was asked to do something that was really hard, because you guys have a good idea of what hard means. So can I have my first two helpers come out here, please? I have some helpers back there. Oh, I know. So, do you guys know who they're dressed up like?
Mary and Joseph, and that is
and baby Jesus. So sometimes we talk a lot about Mary. Sometimes we don't talk so much about Joseph. But I think Joseph had a really hard thing that he was asked to do, because he was supposed to be the dad for Jesus while he was growing up on this earth. Now, Joseph knew that God was going to do something really, really special. Because Joseph has in his hand, do you know what Joseph has in his hand?
Scroll?
Yeah, that's kind of his Bible. That's what the Bible was kind of written like. And they would take these scrolls, good job, and they would open them up like this, and they would read in the temple. So Joseph knew that something special was going to be done by God to save his people. And it was that baby. And Joseph, if you could hold your Bible, I have two other helpers that are going to come down. And I'm going to ask Mary, Mary, could I use your baby for a minute? Thank you. I'll be very careful. Okay. So, little baby Jesus, right? How special was he? Well, baby Jesus was going to grow up, and he was going to be 12, just like Kyle. And when he was 12, his parents almost lost him. They went to the temple, and then when they were going home, they didn't know where he was. They were very, very worried. It's hard being a parent. You don't always know where your kids are. And then Jesus grew up even more. And when he was 33, just like Mr. Petrie, something really important happened. Do you know what happened when Jesus was 33? What happened?
Did he get baptized?
No, he was baptized probably when he was about 30. This is when he's 33.
He died on the cross?
He did. When Jesus was this old, he died on the cross. And when he died on that cross, he took our sins away. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he's back in heaven now, waiting for us so we can be with him forever. Did you ever think about that? He was a little baby, then he was 12, then he got older and older when he was 33. So, thanks, guys. Here's your baby, dear. Thank you. So, can I scoot back down here? Thank you. So Joseph, he was supposed to be dad to that really special baby. Do you think that was hard?
Yes, very hard.
Who do you think Joseph had to help him when things were kind of hard?
God.
Joseph could pray to God, and God could help him figure out how to be a good dad for baby Jesus. I think parenting is hard. I think Joseph probably had a hard job. And I think I know some other parents that think being a parent is kind of a hard job. Who do you think I'm thinking about?
Me.
What did you say? Somebody said it.
Our parents.
Your parents. Do you think your parents have trouble sometimes figuring out the exact right thing to do?
Yeah.
And do you know who they have that Joseph had to help them?
God.
Yeah.
God and angels.
They have God to help them do that.
No, God.
Yeah.
And angels.
God. So, this Christmas, when you see those little mangers like we have one over there, and you probably have one at your house, and you see Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, I want you to do three things. I want you to think, thank you, God, for Jesus. I want you to think, thank you for Mary and Joseph, because they had a hard job being parents to God's son. And then three, I want you to think, thank you for my parents, because they have a hard job too. Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Mary and Joseph. And thank you for my parents too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You guys can go back. Oh, go to a little worship. Looks like Miss Joni's going to take you out there for an awesome lesson. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Joseph.
So Christmas, anticipation. We are waiting expectantly for Jesus to come. And we're also waiting expectantly for Jesus to come again. But as we wait, you know, I mean, we often talk about Mary. In fact, we've already done that this year, right? We talk about Mary's and how she, how God carefully selected her, how the angel Gabriel came and announced to her the plan. We also talk about the cost of this plan on her. You know, the risk to her safety, reputation, and her marriage. And then we hear about her faithful acceptance of this plan. And so we hear about Mary all the time, and we think about Mary, and we, you know, Mary's in a lot of paintings and everything. But, the thing is Joseph doesn't get talked about half as much. And today we get to talk about him. You know, from his point of view, this was kind of a bum deal, you know. His life was progressing normally. He was probably about, 17, 18 years old, and he was betrothed to be married. And now the question is exactly how, how does this whole betrothal marriage thing work? Because it's kind of weird, you know, that says that they were engaged, but then later on it says that Joseph was going to divorce Mary. How does that work? Well, there was the way the Jewish people handled this at the time was that there was kind of two phases of getting married. The first one was the first year, and basically the parents would arrange marriages most of the time, and often the people who were getting married really weren't very acquainted with each other, didn't know each other very well at all, and so rather than just pitch them together and have them try to figure it out from scratch, there was this year of acquaintance, this year where they were married, all right? But she still lived in her home, he still lived in his home, their parents' home, and they didn't live together. They didn't live as married for that year as they prepared for the second year of marriage and following, where they would then have the big party, come together and live together for the rest of their life. And it was during this time when Mary and Joseph were married yet waiting that all of a sudden something really embarrassing happened. Mary was pregnant. And Joseph's put in a really difficult position here, because Joseph is a man who is faithful to God and faithful to God's law. He lives his life right. He does the right thing at the right time. And all of a sudden, he's stuck in a situation that just isn't right. This is not supposed to happen. You know, your wife is not suddenly supposed to be pregnant before you have come together as man and wife, and there is just something terribly wrong. And, God gave Moses laws about this. You know, the if this is to happen, the husband is to denounce the wife and say, this child is not mine. And earlier, she would have been stoned. Now, this is during the Roman occupation, so the Jewish people really didn't have the legal right to put people to death. But there was some serious shame that was going to come down on Mary if Joseph took this route. And so Joseph was in a bind. How can he do what's right and at the same time not unnecessarily hurt Mary. And so the divorce proceedings requires witnesses. So you can't like make it completely quiet. But Joseph could very carefully choose the witnesses to people who would have discretion and at least do the best they could to try to keep Mary from being and unnecessarily shamed. And so that was the plan that Joseph finally came upon, was to say, I'm going to divorce her because she's pregnant, but I'm not going to shame her any more than necessary. And it seems like this was the best thing Joseph could do. It was just the best option of a whole bunch of really awful options. And it does tell us an awful lot about Joseph. This is having your wife be pregnant not by you would be something that would be insulting. You know, it would be something that you could consider vengeance. You could consider trying to get back. You could consider a whole bunch of things that Joseph did not consider. And so we learn a lot about Joseph. He's a good man. Not just that he followed the law, but that even his heart was good and he was compassionate. And so here is where we are. Joseph did what was right. He didn't want to shame her. But poor Mary, you know, what was her future going to be? And then the angel shows up. Now, with Joseph, it's a little different because with Mary, the angel appeared to her. And in the case of Joseph, the angel appears in his dream. Now, I don't know exactly. Remember, what do angels always say when they first show up? Fear not. Don't be afraid, right? Exactly. Meaning that the angels are really scared. Now, I don't know exactly why. Is it because the angel appeared in a dream, and in dreams, everything's a little cattywampus and weird, and Joseph wasn't afraid? But the angel actually did start with, don't be afraid, but that wasn't what he was actually saying. He wasn't saying, don't be afraid of me. He was saying, don't be afraid to take Mary into your house. Don't be afraid to marry this woman. Because I've got a job for you. You know, think about this. Joseph was not part of the Holy Family in the sense of he was not the father of Jesus, right? But in every other sense, other than the conception, was he the father of Jesus? I mean, did he take on the full responsibility of Jesus? Was he the one that took Jesus to the temple to have him circumcised? Was he the one that made sure that Jesus was raised in the faith, that he was taught the Old Testament scriptures, that he was raised as a man of God? Was he the one that made sure that he was fed, made sure that he was clothed, made sure that he had learned a trade, made sure that Jesus was provided for in every single way that was necessary for anybody to be provided for? Yeah, Joseph was unbelievably and pivotally important to the life of Jesus. And I think that God chose him because he was just that right person, that person that was very, very conscientious and wanting to do what was right, and at the same time, not unnecessarily harsh or mean. He was just the right person for just the right job. And God chose him for just this. And so here we are, too good of a man to give or to treat her with vengeance. And so instead, he did what the angel said, and he took Mary into his house. Now understand what this means for Joseph. If he takes Mary into his house, do you know what that looks like to the rest of the people in town? It looks like he is claiming Jesus and saying that I am the one who took advantage of this young girl. I am the one who is responsible for this. And a man who has such a high moral standard and wants to do what is right and wants to live right, to take that upon himself, he literally shared Mary's shame. He took responsibility. And it wasn't fair. It wasn't right. It wasn't right that either of them were going to be shamed. You know, now we think of, we kind of ignore the fact that they were going to exist in this kind of a you know, having their people around them judging them, because now we know the end of the story, right? Now Mary and Joseph are like these amazing parents who like did all these things and were willing to serve God. But at the time when they were walking through this situation, it was anything but easy. It was hard. And you know, Joseph couldn't possibly know how things were going to work out. He couldn't possibly know that 2,000 years from, you know, his life, people would still be talking about him and talking about what an upstanding guy he is. All he knew is that people were going to judge him right then. And yet, he did what the angel said. He was not afraid. He was not afraid to do the hard thing, to walk out the plan that God had for him, and to take Mary into his house. And was it an easy thing to be the father of Jesus? I mean, almost immediately, right? They were in Bethlehem yet, and Herod tries to kill off Jesus, and Joseph has to protect his young family, even though he's just picking this up because the angel told him to. He has to protect his young family and take them off to Egypt. And he has to go to a foreign land where he doesn't know anybody, doesn't know anything, and continued to provide for and care for his family in another land. And then he comes back and he moves back to Nazareth, but now you think everybody has just forgotten about all this. Well, probably not. You know, where there's still tongues wagging, where there's still fingers pointing, where there's still people talking behind their backs. Of course there was. Joseph had a difficult job. But he did it because God told him to. He did it because the angel said, "Don't be afraid." So have you ever been afraid of heading into a job? I think a lot of times the reason that we do things in churches is because we don't really understand what we're getting into before we start. Have you ever had that experience? Where you're like, you know, the pastor comes up to you and says, "Hey, we need somebody to run this ministry." And you're thinking, "Well, that doesn't sound too hard. I think I can do that." And then the farther you get into it, and the more you learn about it, and the more you understand what you're up against, and the more you realize that it's not just organizing, you gotta enlist people's help and get people excited about it. And there's all of these more stages and more difficulties. And then you find out that there's resistance either inside the church or outside the church, or there's legal complications, and all of a sudden you realize this is going to be a lot harder than I thought it was at first. But now you've committed and now you're in it, right? Well, what if Joseph knew that this was going to be really hard and he still was unafraid to do it, right? I mean, because here's the thing, you know, we talked about the future early, you know, how hard is it to predict the future? Well, we don't know, right? And after having a few experiences where you say, "I'm going to be willing to do this," and then you get in and you realize how hard it is, how eager are you to jump into another task a little farther down the road? Well, you're afraid the same thing's going to happen again, that it's going to be much harder than you think it is in the beginning, and things are just going to get harder and harder, and you're just like, "I don't know if I really am up for all of that difficulty. I think I'll just sit this one out." Well, is that the way we're supposed to live? Are we supposed to live in fear of the future? Are we supposed to dodge hard things because they might become more difficult than we're expecting? Are we supposed to avoid, or are we supposed to do? Here's the thing. God's calling us into doing some tasks, You know, one of the things he tells us to do is be a witness, share his gospel, tell people about what he has done, right? So why don't we do that all the time? Could it be because we're a little afraid? You know, if I talk about God at work, am I going to get in trouble? Are people not going to like me? Are people going to talk about me behind their back? Am I going to be like that holy guy? I mean, what's keeping us from doing the thing that God tells us to do? If he says that our job is to witness and to make the most of every opportunity, not just at work, but at home, do we talk to our neighbors about Jesus? Do we pray with them? Do we encourage them? Like spiritually encourage them? And if not, why? Is it because we're afraid? I think Joseph's got a great lesson for us today. You know, what God did through Joseph is absolutely amazing. That Joseph had the responsibility to raise the Son of God. And he did it, and he did what the angel said. He was not afraid. Not afraid to take on the responsibility. Now, was he afraid when the soldiers were coming and stuff a few times? I'm guessing probably he was afraid occasionally. But did it stop him from doing the things that he had to do? No. And so as we anticipate this Christmas, what we're anticipating is the coming of our Savior, the one who is coming to rescue us from our sin, the one who would die on the cross so that our sins would be paid for and that we would no longer bear that penalty, the one who died so that we can live forever in heaven with Jesus because we are covered with his righteousness. We are looking forward to that one, but if we're looking forward to that one, should we not be speaking that message? And then my other question is, what else does God want you to be doing? Because I know the fact, and this is it, God never leaves us alone. He never says, okay, you're done, go ahead and take a break, I don't have any more use for you. He doesn't do that. He's always nudging us and pushing us into the next thing. You know, the last thing is just there to prepare you for the next thing. You'll know you're done working when you're in heaven, all right? And if you're not in heaven, you still got work to do. And the question is, what is God guiding you into? What is he nudging you toward? What is he trying to get you to do? And the question I have for you is, if you're not doing it, why not? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of sacrificing things you like because you're going to have to make room for things in your life that God wants you to do? Are you afraid of what people might say? Are you afraid? And if so, take a note from Joseph. The one who, when God gave him a plan, when God gave him a task, he trusted the God who gave it to him. Trusted that God would be big enough to help him to do the things that had to be done. That he would work through him. I mean, would anybody say that they are worthy of raising God? Anybody ready for that? Is there any way that you possibly could be prepared for the job? So what does God do? Did he help Joseph do it? Yeah. Think God can help you? Think we have any reason not to do the things God's calling us into? It's time. Guys, we are anticipating the coming of Jesus. That is a huge thing. If we're going to be ready when Jesus comes, if we're going to be like the shepherds who went and told everybody what they had seen and heard, we're going to have to prepare our hearts. We're going to have to think hard and deep about the things that are holding us back and keeping us from being ready to proclaim this gospel so that when it happens, we are ready. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord. We aren't capable of doing anything on our own. We're weak. We're, 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 We just don't know enough. We're not prepared, Lord. We're just people. And you call us to do jobs that require so much more than we're capable of. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to trust in you, trust in your promise, trust in your word, trust in your presence, trust in your spirit. Trust that you will give us words to say. Trust that you will guide us through it, that you will give us strength. Lord, let us trust in you so that we are willing to work and act and do the jobs, Lord, that you have called us into. Lord, thank you for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. My friends, as we continue our worship today, we are going to collect the offering. And as the offering is being collected, I do ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. But I also ask that you would raise your voices in praise and adoration to our God as we pray a prayer of expectation. Come, thou long expected Jesus.
Oh,
Please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. As we come together and pray today, we want to remember John and Jan Lindblom's grandsons who were born prematurely, and we just want to be praying for them that those boys are continue to be healthy and thrive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today and we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us into your family, that you sent your son to die for us, and by faith we have received the forgiveness of sins and a new identity in you, that of being your son, your daughter, your child, Lord, that we can live in your presence and eventually be able to live with you forever. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, while we were yet in this world. Give us explain to us, Lord, help us to understand what it is our task is in this world, the things that you want us to be doing, both inside the church and in our private lives, Lord, that we would be able to live out your purpose, Lord, and do the good deeds that you have prepared in advance for us to do. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage, that you would help us to not be afraid, that we would be able to do those tasks, Lord, with boldness and confidence, knowing that it's not us doing them alone, but it is you working in and through us and making these things possible. That because you are a part of them, Lord, things can happen that we would never imagine, and that we would know, Lord, that we are in your hands, in your arms, that you never let us go, never leave us alone. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord, especially those of us who are struggling with sicknesses or infections. Lord, I pray that you would continue to give us strength and heal us, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we encourage one another as we see the day approaching. And Lord, I pray especially for John and Jan Lindblom's grandsons, these two little tiny babies, Lord, that you would continue to give them strength and healing, that you would help the doctors to be able to prepare them for this world, and just, Lord, give them everything that they need, Lord, so that they can thrive and so that we can enjoy them, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of us, Lord, who are struggling in ministry, that you would again be our strength, be our guide. Help us, Lord. In your holy name we pray, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
How great is our God, and I will see how great. God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
This meal is amazing. It's amazing because it's the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that through it we receive strength and forgiveness of sins. It's amazing because this meal has a little bit of everything in it, right? Because we're remembering back to when Jesus died for us on the cross. We're currently receiving the forgiveness of sins. And then Jesus said when he gave this meal to us that this was the first fruits of the heavenly banquet that we're going to eat with him in eternity. There's a lot going on here, which you kind of expect with God. But today we have received. God has shown up true to his promise. And he has done what he has promised. He has delivered to us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. And because he has done this, depart in his peace. Amen. Receive our Lord's blessing today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Conquer the grave. You're my Savior. You can.
A few announcements today. First of all, if you're visiting with us, welcome. We like having you around. Please come back. And please, if you look in the bulletin, you're going to see all of our Christmas program, all the Christmas schedule and Advent services and such. And so next Sunday is going to be our musical cantata. Is that what we're calling it? Sure, we'll call it that. All right, very good. So next week we're going to be doing the cantata, so please show up for that. And we're also going to be having Advent service on Wednesday. Let's see here. After the service today, we have family nativity gingerbread that we're going to be building in the gym. Now, this is one of those RSVP things, so if you haven't signed up, come anyway. We have a couple extras, so don't worry about it. It'll be great. We'll figure it out. And after the cantata, there's going to be a cookie exchange. You can read about that in the bulletin, and I'll let you have that. And after the service today, for the kids who sang this morning, Mrs. Mueller has a little prize treat gift for you. So hunt her down in the lobby. All right, she'll be back there. You can get your little treat before you head off to Sunday school. And don't forget, with the adult Bible study, it's also going to be this morning. We're going to be over in room 104, and we're talking about angels. Seems like an appropriate thing to do this time of year. So with that, God's blessings on your week, and I will see you in the back.